Good evening, everyone. We want to give you an earnest and warm word of welcome to the Lord's house on this Sabbath evening for the Armagh Orange District service. We bid you all warmly welcome in the Saviour's great name. We're glad that you've been able to get here in good time, and we appreciate your patience as you've waited on the commencement of the service. We're delighted that you've got here dry as well, especially thinking of the forecast for the day, and we pray that you'll return in the same manner as well. We're looking to the Lord for his presence and his blessing to be upon the service. He's assured us that even where two or three are gathered together in his name, that there he is in the midst, and we pray that that might be our experience here tonight. We're going to commence as we sing the words of the gospel hymn, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" The words are on the screens. There are books in the pews in front if you prefer the book. 224 is the number. So we're going to stand together as we sing the words of the hymn, please. Seek the Lord's face together in prayer. We'll commit our meeting into his hands. Pray for the Lord's guidance and help and blessing to rest upon all we do tonight. Father in heaven, we come to thee at the throne of grace, We rejoice in the access that is afforded to us. We thank you, Father, that that way is ever open to us. We're conscious that we come tonight in the name of our Saviour and by the merit and the virtue of his precious blood. We remember those words of Paul in the New Testament Scriptures, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the words that we've sung together. We do rejoice tonight in that precious theme of the blood of our Saviour. We thank you for his love towards us. We thank you for his death, that all-atoning death, that substitutionary death on Calvary's cross. We praise thee tonight for the shedding of his blood. We remember that you've said in your word that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We thank you for the power of that blood. We praise that there's power to cleanse from every sin. And Lord, our prayer would be that there might be some in this service tonight that might experience the power of the Saviour's blood. We pray that there'll be some in this meeting tonight that would come to Christ in salvation. We want to pray that they'll go from this meeting changed, new creatures in Christ, transformed by the power of the gospel. Lord, we do praise thee for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for this evening gospel service. We give thee thanks, Father, for health and strength to be in thy house. We thank you for the health and strength given to each one to be present. We would be mindful, Father, of friends and family, members of this church that would long to be here, but because of age and weakness and ill health are now prevented from regular attendance at the house of God. Thank you for their faithfulness over many years. We pray that they might be encouraged by your presence and nearness, your grace and peace, even in these days. Lord, those that are unwell, our prayer would be that very soon they would have the health to return to the worship services in thy house to fellowship with us. We're mindful, Father, even of some that will be listening in to this service tonight. Lord, may they be encouraged. We pray that you'll be near to them. May they be blessed by the meeting as well. We pray that you might speak to them, even to others, Father, much further afield, that will be watching this service this evening. Lord, abide with us. We're glad we can commit our way unto thee. We acknowledge that we need the help of God tonight. Lord, we confess our need freely. We ask that you'll come, put your hand upon us. Each one that will participate in this service this evening, Lord, be near to us. May we be conscious of your presence. May the guiding hand of God be known. We would pray, Father, that you'll speak to us. Lord, we've come to worship thee. We acknowledge that the climax of that worship is to hear the word of God. And we want to receive, Father, a word from thee tonight. We ask thee to speak to us. Lord, speak clearly, plainly, powerfully. Speak savingly in this house. Lord, speak in such a way that all that are gathered will hear the voice of God in this meeting. Remember all that are gathered. We bring our families before thee. We acknowledge, Father, your goodness to us, even in these very difficult days financially in which we're found. We do praise thee for your provision. Lord, we have to acknowledge in the words of the Lord's Prayer that you give us every day, our daily bread. We can say with the psalmist that our cup runneth over. So, Father, we praise thee for every mercy, every blessing, for blessings temporal, for blessings spiritual, for blessings that are seen and blessings that are unseen that we do not recognize and perceive even from day to day. For all your many mercies to us, we give thee the praise and the worship of our hearts. Bless every family represented in this meeting, the varying families with differing circumstances, some that are facing great trials and challenges, some that are here tonight with heavy burdens upon their heart. We thank you for the one who is the great burden bearer. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." May each one of us, Father, be able to cast all our cares upon thee tonight, and especially those out of Christ, those with the burden of guilt and sin weighing heavily upon them. Oh God, we ask that they might get to the cross and cast the burden of their sin even upon the Savior. So, Father, hear our prayers and our cries. We give this meeting to Thee now, praying for the presence of God to be felt. We're asking, Father, for the evidence of the Holy Spirit working, moving, speaking, even amongst us. We pray when the meeting's over that all of us, as we go from the house of God, will say that of a truth the Lord was in this place. Answer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 211. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old, yet ever new. The hymn 211, and again we'll stand to sing, please. First of our scripture readings this evening, Brother the Reverend Edwin Fraser, who's the chaplain of the Armagh District, LOL number 5, is going to come and bring the Old Testament reading to us just at this time, please.
Our Old Testament reading is taken from Psalm 124. This is the word of God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. The waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We thank God for this reading from his truth. Amen.
Thank you very much. We take a moment to welcome you all, everyone that's gathered, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We welcome you to Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. Especially, we give an earnest word of welcome to all the members of the Armagh District Orange, the band members, and your family members and friends who've also gathered. A special word of welcome to the officers of the Armagh District. We assure you all that you're very welcome to the church here this evening. We're very happy to be again able to host your annual divine service of worship this year. And we assure you that we have been praying for the Lord's blessing to be evident upon the service tonight. It's very good to have the children and young people that are present. We want to make you very welcome, and we want to thank you too for coming along to the service this evening. And we also take a moment just to welcome those that are watching the service on the live stream. We pray it will be a blessing to you also. Just the announcements for the incoming week. Just to remind the folk here, there's no midweek service this incoming week on Wednesday night because of the way the holidays fall in the middle of the week this year. So just to emphasise that to you. Next Lord's Day, the 16th of July, the services at the usual times, 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. There is the half hour of prayer that precedes both meetings. Just to remind you that I have to go down to Corrigarry next Lord's Day morning, and also for the afternoon service. The afternoon service down there is the local Orange service also for the folk in Drum. And they've asked if I would come down and preach at that service in the afternoon. The Orange men in Drum bring their tea with them, and they have their tea in the hall then before they march back again. So we're looking forward to that. The preacher here next Lord's Day morning is one of our retired ministers, the Reverend Alan Smiley. And then, God willing, I'll be back to take the evening gospel service myself. The offering that was taken, the missionary offering last Lord's Day, there was a visit at the morning service from our brother Alejandro Bernabeu, who is labouring for the Lord in Corticas Nuevas in Spain. So that offering so far has come to £1,880. We thank you sincerely for your very generous giving. Remember, you can still add to that offering if you haven't had opportunity to give to it as yet. Put your gift in an envelope and mark it for our brother. Keep in mind the magazines that are available in the porch this evening. There is the denominational magazine, The Vision. The summer edition is to hand at present. There's also the latest LTBS quarterly, the magazine of our radio and television ministry. The latest edition of the Watching and Waiting magazine is available as well. Keep in mind that the Whitfield College of the Bible is recommencing their Christian Workers Training Academy this autumn on the 12th of October, a Thursday evening. Remember that they move it around to different locations. This is the first time that it has run since the pandemic. It'll run for about 14 weeks or thereabouts. So it's going to be in Artandragee Church through this coming winter. There's 14 lectures, and it costs £100. The course is designed to help the Lord's people serve the Lord in their local congregation. So there are cards available that have all of the details, give you some details about the lectures that will be given at that course. And there's the application form as well on the back if you would like to attend. So do look at that if you're interested. It would be good to send that off as soon as possible, for there's generally a very good interest in it. Also, with regard to our college, we were very thankful recently that the planning application for our new college facilities at Tandragee was approved by the Armagh, Banbridge and Craigavon Council. That's a great answer to prayer. We do thank the Lord for his goodness. You may have seen that in the local press just in recent days. I know that the Armagh Eye carried a very detailed account of the planning application and the plans for the future. So do pray for the next stage of that building project. It will go out to tender, and then, God willing, the building itself will commence. So pray the Lord will prosper that. Continue to pray for our sister, Mrs. Verner, and also Mrs. Gillespie. The Lord will keep his hand on them and strengthen them just at this time that they've been unwell, laid aside. And as a congregation, we want to sympathise with the Reverend Stephen Hamilton. The Reverend Hamilton is the minister of our congregation, the Lehigh Valley congregation in Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. We sympathise with the Reverend Hamilton on the home calling of his dear wife, June. She'd been very ill with cancer, and Mrs. Hamilton passed away, passed into the presence of the Lord on Friday past. They had been married for just a little over 42 years. The Reverend Hamilton is originally from Belfast, from the Martyrs Church. He grew up under Dr. Paisley's ministry. His father, Billy, was quite a character. He was the caretaker of the Martyrs Church for many years. But Mrs. Hamilton was from the United States of America. So we're deeply saddened by Mrs. Hamilton's death. And as a congregation, we do extend to the Reverend Hamilton, his daughters Rachel and Rebecca, and their families our deepest sympathy. And we want to assure them of her prayers, and we commend them to the congregation tonight, that you will pray for them also, that they'll know the Lord's grace and presence and comfort just at this time. We're going to come to another hymn. This is going to be the offering hymn this evening. There is going to be an offering taken by some of the Orange Men from the Armagh District. Remember that all of the loose money in the offering tonight will go to the Lord Enniskillen Memorial Fund, that is of the Orange Society, to help relieve poverty and especially to relieve the orphans of members of the Orange Order. So please give as generously to that special offering tonight. Some of you will have received the envelopes if you'd like to gift aid, the donation that you're going to make tonight. But just to emphasise, all loose money in the offering will go to the special Lord Enniskillen Memorial Fund. So it's the hymn 293 is the offering hymn. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. We're going to remain seated as the offering is taken. At the end of the hymn, when the offering is lifted, the brethren will bring the offering forward and they'll place it on the table, and we'll just have a little prayer of dedication then for the offering that has been received. But we'll remain seated first of all for the lifting of the offering, please.
As I
We're going to ask you just to stand, and we'll sing the final verse, and then we'll have a wee prayer together after we sing the final verse, please. So verse 3, rising to sing. Let's just bow together in prayer. Father, we seek your face, mindful of your great goodness to us. We can say that you're the God who daily loads us with benefits. We want to be mindful, Father, this evening of those who are not as well off as we are. Your word says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. And we're conscious, Father, even in our own land, of those in great need. We thank you for how you have blessed us that we're able to give tonight of what you have given to us. Our prayer would be that you'll take this offering, that you'll use it. We pray it'll be a blessing and a help, an encouragement, a comfort to many across the land, even those orphans, especially amongst families of the Orange Order. We pray, Father, that it may be a means of relieving them and meeting their needs. Even in coming days, our prayer would be that the blessing of God will rest upon this work and upon the Lord Inniskillen Memorial Fund. We commit ourselves to thee, Father. Help us ever to keep our eyes upon thee, and mindful that you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that sees and the Lord that provides. And we thank you, Father, that you've provided our greatest need. You've provided the need of our souls, the need of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We ask thee to abide with us now through the remainder of this meeting. May we know the help of God and the power of God, especially resting upon the preaching. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brian. The Lord bless you. We're going to have one further reading just before we come to the scriptures this evening. Brother George McMahon, a lay chaplain of the Armagh District, LOL number 5, is going to read the New Testament scriptures to us, please.
Our New Testament reading is taken from Ephesians 2, reading from verse 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein the time past we walked accordingly to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to each one of our hearts.
Thank you very much indeed. Just one further verse that I'll read that will be our text for the message tonight. It's in Hebrews 11 and the words of verse 33. Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter of the Word of God. Verse 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You've heard of the hillbillies. It's a name that we're all familiar with. But I wonder, do you know the origin of that name or that title, hillbilly? It is a name that is especially used to refer to people in the eastern part of the United States of America, in places like Virginia. But the name has a very strong connection with Ulster, and especially with the 12th of July, because the original hillbillies were the Ulster Scotch people who emigrated to the United States of America. And many of them lived up in the hills in places like West Virginia. And at times they would get together and they would sing songs, sing ballads about King William and his victory at the Battle of the Boyne. So they became known locally as the Hillbillies. They were people from the hills, and they remembered King Billy. And that's what we're going to do in the service this evening. In a sense, we're going to be hillbillies. We're going to remember King Billy tonight. In the scriptures, many times, Israel was exhorted to remember how God had intervened and delivered them. They were exhorted to remember how they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. They were also exhorted to remember how they were delivered from being wiped out under the wicked hand of Haman. So many times Israel is exhorted to remember how God delivered them. Great victories remembered. Isn't that really what the celebration of the 12th of July is all about? Remembering the great victory that was wrought there. So let us do the same in this service tonight. Some details about King Billy I want to emphasize to you in the gospel this evening. First of all, let me emphasize his date, the date that William crossed the Boyne. Of course, that was the first day of July in 1690. This is the 333rd anniversary of the Battle of the Boyne. That, of course, the 1st of July was also the day that the Battle of the Somme, the famous Battle of the Somme, in which many Ulster men fell. That was 117 years ago. A very interesting question is, why is the Battle of the Boyne remembered on the 12th of July if it was originally fought on the 1st of July? Well, there's at least two main reasons for that. One is to do with the Battle of Aughrim. You know, you sing the song, the Sash, Enniskillen, Aughrim, and the Boyne. So the Battle of Aughrim, although the Battle of the Boyne was a very significant victory, it did not bring to an end the Williamite Wars in Ireland. They rumbled on for almost a year. And the following year, the Battle of Aughrim was fought and won on the 12th day of July, 1691. That was a very decisive battle that brought to an end the Williamite Wars in Ireland. The other reason, of course, was because of the change of the calendar. Back in 1752, Britain started to use a new calendar. They started to use what was known as the Gregorian calendar. That was named after a pope, Pope Gregory the 13th, the man that planned it. Many countries in Europe were already using the Gregorian calendar, especially the Catholic nations, and most of the Protestant nations had held out. They had opposed its introduction in their country. But in September of 1752, Britain also adopted the Gregorian calendar. But in order to bring the nation into line with the rest of Europe, 11 days were skipped, missed out of that year. They went to bed on the 2nd of September, and when they got up the next morning, they found it was the 14th of September. As you can imagine, people weren't very happy about it. There was a campaign across the land, give us back our 11 days. And one result of that new calendar was that certain dates were changed. The tax year, for one thing, moved. from the 25th of March, originally to the 5th of April, and then a little later to the 6th of April. And the celebration of the Battle of the Boyne, it also moved 11 days until the 12th of July. So the date of William's great deliverance. Let me ask you, men and women tonight, in the light of that, do you have a date? Do you have a date when you were delivered? Not a date when you were delivered from your enemy, but is there a date when you were delivered from your sin? Was there a day in your life when you were saved by God's grace? You may not remember the exact date. Sometimes when people are saved very young, it's overlooked recording, writing down the date, so you may not remember the exact date. But was there a day in your life, a day in your experience, when you were converted by God's grace? Could you sing tonight the old gospel hymn, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away? His date. The second thing I'll emphasize is his descendants. King William was a Dutchman. His descendants were from the royal family of Holland. So in the light of that, the question is, a very important question, how did he become king? How did a Dutchman, a Dutch prince, become the king of Great Britain? That's a very good question. Can I point out to you, in case you didn't realize, that James II, whom William defeated at the Boyne, was William's father-in-law. Isn't that very interesting? He was fighting his in-laws. Maybe you have a wee bit of experience of that yourself. William's wife, Mary, was James's eldest child. She was actually the one that was the heir to the throne of England. That was until James had a son in 1688. It has been suggested by many historians that the child was not James's at all, but the son of a miller and his wife, and that the child was smuggled into the royal palace in a bedpan. But that can't be proved to be true. It can't be proved to be the case. But what the birth of this child meant was that James now had a male heir to his throne, and there was the real possibility of successive Catholic kings on the throne of Britain. That prospect alarmed many people. It alarmed the Protestants of the nation. So a secret letter was sent to William in Holland. That letter was drafted and sent by those men who have become known as the Immortal Seven. There were six nobles and one bishop. The Immortal Seven drafted and sent that secret letter to William, inviting him to come to be the King of England. Remember that he actually reigned jointly with his wife Mary. That was a very unique situation. That was the only case in the history of our country when the king and queen reigned the nation jointly. You think of the well-known verse, Rockabye Baby, on the treetop, when the wind blows, the cradles will rock. Can I point out that that's not just a nursery rhyme for children? Many of those, what we call nursery rhymes, were drafted in order to teach children and to teach others some of the great stories in our Protestant history. It's a song, it's a ballad that our Protestant forefathers once sang. The tree was the family tree of James. The cradle that they were referring to was the cradle of the newly born Prince James. And they wanted the wind to blow and bring William across the English Channel and to bring down the family tree of James II. And God heard their prayers. God heard their cries. And that is exactly what happened. So that's how a Dutch prince became King of England. But you know, men and women, there's a far more important question we do well to consider tonight. And that is the question, how does a sinner become a child of God? That is an all-important question. In fact, that is the vital question of life. It's vital that you think of that question this evening. The answer, how does a sinner become a child of God? by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The New Testament in the first chapter of the book of John says, to as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Receive him. Salvation, men and women, is not in the church. It's in Christ. It's not in yourself. It's not in your efforts. It's not in your works. It's not in who you are. It is by receiving him. Salvation is all of Christ. To as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. So what I want to urge you to do tonight is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a difference that would make to this meeting. What a difference that would make in your life. His descendants. The third thing I'll emphasize is his destination. William's destination, of course, was the Boyne. He landed in Carrickfergus on the 14th day of June, 1690. It was a Saturday. Saturday the 14th of June. He was accompanied by a fleet of up to 700 vessels. It has been suggested that Belfast Lough has never seen the like since. The next day, King William worshipped in the parish church in Belfast. The preacher was the Reverend George Royce, and he took the text that I have read to you, Hebrews 11 and 33, through faith they subdued kingdoms. In the course of his message, he also quoted the words of the prophet Isaiah, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Those were very appropriate verses for the circumstances. On the 19th of June, William left Belfast, and he began his triumphant march south. He met up with his army at Loch Brickland. His army was under the leadership of the very famous General Schomberg. Schomberg was to fall. He was to die at the Boyne at the age of 74. I find that quite striking, that he was still on the battlefield at 74 years of age. William's troops at that time numbered 36,000 men. On the 25th of June, his army came to Newry as they made their way to the Boyne. And he arrived at the historic river on Monday, the 30th of June. James had arrived the day before with an army of 30,000 men. William's generals urged him to attack that day, but he refused. He felt that that was not the best plan. Later that evening, William held a council of war, and a decision was taken to fight the next day, Tuesday, the 1st of July, 1690. His destination, the historic battle scene of the River Boyne. I want you to think with me for a moment of the destination of another king, the one who was and is the King of Kings, and the one who was and is the King of the Jews, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he come to earth? Why did the incarnation take place? Why did the second person of the eternal Trinity become man? It was so that he could go to Calvary. That was his destination. Can I emphasize to you that there's only one mention of the word Calvary in all the New Testament? That name that is so prominent, that name that is so sweet to us, just one mention of it in all the New Testament scriptures. It's in Luke chapter 23 and the verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. At Calvary, men and women, the greatest battle of all was fought and won. At Calvary, Christ defeated the devil. He bruised the serpent's head. Did you know that William was wounded at the Boyne? He received a slight wound from a musket shot. It grazed his shoulder and drew blood. And whenever he slumped over in the saddle, James's men thought that William was dead. He was wounded by the enemy. And so it was with our Saviour at Calvary. He was wounded too. The serpent bruised his heel. The hymn writer penned it well when they said, "Five bleeding wounds he bore." Just think for a moment of the sufferings of the Saviour. Think of the wounds in his head with the crown of thorns. The wounds on his back when they smote him with that cat of nine tails. The wounds in his hands, in his side, in his feet. And men and women, the message of the gospel is this: by his stripes we are healed. It is by his sufferings that he obtained salvation, that he obtained eternal life for his people. And I want to urge you tonight, if you've never done it before, get to the cross. Get to the cross for salvation. It's the only place, my friend, where you can lose the burden of your sins. Your sins can be forgiven and washed away. I want you to think fourthly with me about his deliverance. In Hull in England, if you ever go there, there's a statue of King William on a horse. The plaque at the bottom of the statue just simply says, "Our great deliverer." Sums it up well. He certainly was. William had more troops than James by approximately 6,000. William's troops were better trained. They had an excellent strategy of attack. And so they soon won the battle. As a result, James fled from the battle scene. He fled to London. Whenever he arrived to Dublin, when he got to Dublin, when he arrived at the gates of the city, an old lady asked him how the battle was going. And James, trying to shift the blame, he said, "My army turned and ran." The old lady quickly, sharply replied, "I see your majesty has won the race." So James fled to Dublin, and then he fled on to France, and he lived there under the protection of the Sun King, or Louis XIV, Louis the Great, as he was sometimes described. So William won the battle, and he brought about a great deliverance. He delivered this land from Romanism. He gave us our civil and religious liberties that we prize so much. The Revolution settlement and our civil and religious liberties is dated from the time of King William and the victory of the Battle of the Boyne, his deliverance. But men and women, there is another far more important deliverance, and that is the deliverance of God's salvation. The Bible says that you need to be saved, being absolutely no doubt about that. The Bible is very clear, right throughout the Scriptures. The emphasis is placed on the need to be saved if you want to be in heaven when your life is over. That word saved means to be delivered, to be rescued, especially delivered and rescued from sin, from the power of sin, and ultimately the penalty of sin, that is, going to a lost eternity. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said, "And to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Can I take a moment just to ask you all tonight, are you delivered from your sins? Delivered and saved from a lost eternity? You may be a Protestant, an Orange man, a Bands man. You may go regularly to your church. You may be a very good citizen, a decent citizen, a good neighbor. And all of those things are good and right and commendable. You rejoice today in the deliverance of the Battle of the Boyne. But what of yourself personally? Are you delivered? Can you say tonight, you're delivered from the wrath to come, delivered from your soul being lost for all of God's great eternity? His deliverance. The final thing I'll emphasize is his death. King William was only 51 years of age when he died. He didn't live to be an old man. What a warning that is. The Bible nowhere guarantees us that we'll live to be old. The book of Job says that thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. It doesn't say that you'll come to your grave in old age. King William died as a result of a fall from his horse. The king enjoyed horse riding, and he had been riding in the very expansive grounds of Hampton Court Palace down in the south of England. Hampton Court Palace was the main royal residence in those times. Some very significant historical events that took place there. The Authorized Version Conference, or the conference that was convened by King James, King James I, that brought about the translation of the Authorized Version of the Scriptures that we love and cherish so much, it took place at Hampton Court Palace as well. It is believed that King William's horse fell after stumbling in a molehill. I'm told that in Hibernian circles, they still toast the little man in the black velvet jacket, in other words, the mole, because he brought about the death of King Billy. William took pneumonia as a result of that fall, and the consequence of that pneumonia was his death. His last words were a question. Can this last long? That's an interesting question. There's a little bit of debate over what he was actually referring to. Isn't it very interesting that the man we often see pictured riding a horse and riding that horse so bravely, so confidently, that he should die as the result of a horse riding accident? What a warning there is there, men and women. You can die, or you could die, in the most unexpected way, the most unexpected manner. William's death. It is a warning to us, as we think of how he died, that we're not to boast of tomorrow. Today in our bloom, tomorrow in our tomb. An accident, an unexpected illness could change your circumstances and even end your life. So it stresses, men and women, the need to be ready. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. You need to know Christ as your Savior. Let me just finish this evening with this thought. Whenever William's army was at Loch Brickland, you can think of those 36,000 men. The camp stretched from Loch Brickland to Scarva and to Points Pass. In Scarva domains, where the sham fight is held every year on the 13th of July, there is a Spanish chestnut tree that you can still see, go and visit. It is believed that King William himself pitched his tent for the night under that tree, whenever his troops were camped in that area. So just think of that. King William took shelter under the tree. But men and women, there is another far greater tree that you must shelter under if you're going to be safe in eternity. You know, it's interesting that Peter, the Apostle Peter, never used the word cross. Read through the New Testament scriptures. This is how Peter referred to the cross. He bare our sins to his own body on the tree. That tree, of course, that he's referring to is the cross, the wood, on which our Savior died. And men and women, as I close this message this evening, this gospel message, I want to point you to the cross. I want to point you away from yourself, away from the church, away from all the religion, all the ceremonies and the rituals of the church. I want to point you to the cross of Christ, not to the wood of the cross, but to the work of the cross, the finished work, the sufferings of our Savior. As the old gospel hymn says, it is the way of the cross. There's only one way to heaven. We're not all going to heaven different ways. There's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ said, I am the way. There is none other. If you don't go his way, you'll not be able to go at all. It's the way of the cross that leads home, that will take you to heaven. You need to trust completely in the work that Christ accomplished and finished. It's a sufficient work. Nothing needs to be added to it. You need to trust completely in the work of the cross. And if you do that, you'll be saved for all eternity. As you're leaving the service tonight, some of the men at the door will give you a copy of this little leaflet. It's entitled King William and the Man That Was Too Late. Take time to read the story when you go home this evening. It'll not take very long. If you'd like to take a couple of them, if there's somebody else you'd like to pass them on to, there's no problem with that. Do take the time to read it. Let others see it as well. I emphasize to you, it is possible to be too late as far as God's salvation is concerned. The Bible warns, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So if God is speaking to you this evening, if you can sense his spirit striving, working in your heart, if you're concerned about your soul, you need to be saved today, this evening, even this very night in this gospel service. You can be too late. You can step over the deadline. There is such a thing as the last invitation and the last opportunity. So we urge you, men and women, be sure that it is well with your soul. King William remembered, or a look at the life of King William. I pray that these truths, especially the gospel truths that have been applied from these facts, will be a help and a blessing to all that are gathered here this evening. We're delighted to have the Worshipful Master of the Armagh District, Brother John Atkinson, and we're going to invite John to come and just to bring the vote of thanks to us at this time, please.
Deputy District Master, Deputy County Master, and County Chaplain, and our district officers, Brian, all, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure for me to invite you, or thank you for coming along to our service here, our final district service in the Free Presbyterian Church tonight. I thank Reverend David for his invitation and his very great, warm welcome to be with him, and the Kirk Session, who made the arrangements for our service. We thank them for that. Thanks to our readers, Reverend Edwin Fraser, and our chaplains, Brother George McMahon. Thank you very much for doing the reading for us. To our flag carriers, who carried to and from the church, well done to them, and to those who collected our collection. And our collection for the Lord in Maskillen has been very well supported through all our services, and I know that goes to a very worthy cause. Could I make special thanks to Colleen Bond, who brought us to the service tonight. Sounding very good as usual. I know Bond is getting it difficult to keep out on the road, and I know you are looking very impressive tonight. Could I just make a comment on the Brother Mark Leatham from Worshipful Master at Clontibert? I know he is helping out Killeen Bond the night. This is what people do when you're involved in the bond. And he made us very welcome. Me and six or seven other people were up at Rosnaily yesterday, and we joined with Brother Leatham as we prayed in Rosnaily, and he certainly made us very welcome. So we thank you very much for making us so welcome, and we had a great day up there with you, so thank you for that. To the PSNI for their traffic control here tonight, we don't take that for granted. They always do a tremendous job and are always available to keep traffic control, and we wouldn't for a manage about them. To the Reverend David, for your excellent address. I know everybody was listening very intently to that address, which there's a lot of information there, I think, that some of us maybe just didn't know about. So we can take that all on board, and we certainly know exactly what happened at the Battle of Boyne now, and what followed on from that there. So thank you very much for your excellent address, Reverend David. To our organists and our piano player, thank you very much. It's nice to have good music for leading the praise. The 12th of July, General Brian, our services remembrance to remember our Orange victims who were murdered in the Troubles. That is the short service we always have on the 12th of July morning at 9 p.m. And an appeal for a good attendance at that. I know there always is a good attendance at that. We're 7 members of our organisation murdered during the Troubles, so it's very important that they're never forgotten, and we do remember them. And that's what we do every 12th morning before we head off on our parade. We will intend to head off around 9:30 to get our buses down at Alexander. That's about it, I think. But again, thank you, Reverend David. We've always enjoyed coming to the Free Presbyterian Church. We've always been made very welcome, and the singing and all is excellent. So it'll not belong to our back. So thank you very much. Could we leave the church in reverse order whenever the rest of the service finishes?
Thank you very much. You're welcome back next year again if you'd like to come. We're always delighted to have you. We appreciate your kind comments and words of thanks. Be assured they're very much appreciated. It's been a privilege and a delight for us to host the service again this evening, and we certainly have known the Lord's presence and his hand upon the meeting. We're going to sing the closing hymn. It's the hymn 230, Life at Best is Very Brief, Like the Falling of a Leaf, Like the Binding of a Sheaf. Be in time. I remember the emphasis that we put on the urgency of salvation, so think carefully of the words as you sing them. As the words of the hymn are being sung, the colours will be returned. We'd ask you to remain standing. After the close of the hymn, the benediction will be pronounced, and then immediately after the benediction, the first verse of the national anthem will be sung. So we'll stand to sing our closing hymn, please.
And the faith of life be passed.
just bow together in prayer. Father, we're thankful for your good hand upon this meeting. We thank you for being with us. We've sensed your presence. We've heard your voice. We pray that you'll speak on after the service is over. We thank, Father, for the sowing of the seed of the gospel. Our prayer is that it will fall upon good ground and bring forth fruit, even unto eternal life. We commit ourselves into your hands. We pray that you'll take us home in safety and watch over the parade as they make their way back. We commit them to thee even for the week ahead. We pray for weather suitable, Father, and might please thee to grant weather suitable for all the parades that are planned to take place. We pray you'll keep your hand upon our land and upon our province. We pray you'll be merciful to it. We pray you'll turn the hearts of the people again, even unto yourself. Part us now in thy fear and with thy favour, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit the Comforter, be our abiding portion, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you all.